What was that? All right. Did I hear you whisper? Is the grapevine strumming a fine tune these days? Are rumors getting out? Is the world truly coming to an end? Or is it just your sanity? Welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Where we have an incredible blog here done by our producer Mitch, who is an absolute news junkie, as it turns out. Wanted a little project for himself, decided to work away. Last night I was talking to both a slave and a truther. It was an interesting parallel. The truther was somebody who said to me that he really thinks that we can defeat the Illuminati. And he was a good friend of mine, and he'd only just listened to my show. And he said, "Oh, Vinnie, man, you say some really deep things, man, and it really speaks to my heart, and it's just such the truth, and you come from such a good place." And I said, "Well, thank you, bro." You know, because previous to that, I had talked to a slave. And I'd explain to him certain things. As I do, and basically he just kind of had to stop me. You know, it's just like, okay, look, you're wrong. Okay, this is a fantasy. All right, it's just so fantastic. It's totally ridiculous. Okay, and you know, I don't want to make anything about it. You know. Because, you know, I like hanging out with you, you're a good person and stuff, but this is just, you know. And I said, "Well, okay, let's test your knowledge then. Do you know about the Trilateral Commission? No. Do you know about the Bilderberg Group? No. Do you know about Bohemian Grove? No. Do you know about the Club of Rome? No. Do you know about the Agenda 21 and the United Nations? No.
Fantasy,
do you know
buddy.
About
Codex
Elementarius? No. And I said, "Look, here it is. I won't talk to you about this again until you realize that you don't know what you're talking about."
That's fair. That's totally fair. You see, people might listen to the show, Vinny, and they come from obscurity. And this is going to happen big time when we get on the air in New Zealand. they come from obscurity, and they come from the world and all their worldly judgments, and they just can't understand what we're saying, so they write us off. It's meant to inspire research, not knee-jerk reactions, you fools.
It didn't sound like an argument. It sounded like an emotional response. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back. It is my esteemed pleasure to welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, for the second time, James Burns of Freedom Files. James, welcome back, bro.
Well, thanks for having me back. Wow. So what's the official record here, since we're doing the whole Saturday Night Live thing, you know, of how they always keep a tally of how many times they get to be a host of a show? So who has the record right now?
That would be Doc Bain with 3.
Ah, 3, see. So one more time, and I got him tied.
Yeah. It's a race to the finish line. It is Survivor, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
So how are things going on your end? How are things down at Christchurch? Is it getting any better over there?
Oh, it's getting much better now that the government's passed dictatorial powers that allows them to change nearly any legislation in the entire country without any judicial oversight. Yeah. It's fabulous, especially that most of the people who are now living in homes that are uninhabitable because they've got nowhere else to go have received no government assistance of any kind.
Yeah. You know what's sad? You know, it took the earthquake for me to realize that New Zealand's actually two islands. I never knew that until I actually Because I pride myself as being, you know, kind of a geography expert. You know, I'm one of the few that can actually tell you where Iraq is. But until, you know, Christchurch hit, I didn't really think much about it. And then I looked at the map, I'm like, wait a minute. Christchurch is on the southern island, and Auckland, where you guys are at, is on the northern island. I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. I learned something new.
Yeah, and also, the further south you go in New Zealand, the colder it gets, and the further north you go, the hotter it gets. It's the reverse in the United States, I believe.
Well, it really depends on the time of year. Like, right now, it's starting to cool off a little bit, so it's getting a little bit nicer. It's about, you know, upper 70s, lower 80s here right now, so it's not too shabby.
Yeah, and we've just been experiencing kind of like temperature variation a little bit, you know, how that that last breath of winter kind of gets breathed into the first of spring.
Yeah.
Just to crispen it up for you, conveniently. You know, it's almost as if nature's got a sense of humor, and I can hear it laughing at me in the wind.
Nature loves doing that. It loves to make you think that you're finally at this certain type of year where it's either getting warmer or colder, then all of a sudden it kind of does a 180 on you for like a week to catch you completely off guard. Ha ha! You dragged out your lungs closed too soon, see? Ha ha!
But man controls the climate, don't we?
Hey!
How about this headline, Royal Society Humiliated by Global Warming Basic Math Error? So it appears that the international experts in Britain got their basic CO2 numbers wrong and grossly exaggerated our climate impact.
Yeah.
Grossly exaggerated.
Why would they want to do that, I wonder?
Yeah, I wonder. That's no surprise. And this is one thing that is, I'm just finally convinced myself that everyone that still believes in global warming and that carbon dioxide is somehow bad for the planet are complete idiots, because if it doesn't take a genius to realize that plants require CO2 to live. They breathe CO2, we breathe oxygen. When they breathe in CO2, they breathe out oxygen. You know, it's a cycle. The more CO2 there is, the more plants there's going to be. And for some reason, these Al Gore followers just don't get it.
Yeah, no, I was invited by this person to a 350.org meeting in my local town, and she's like, come along, it'll be great. I'm like, yeah, you really think I'll go down well there, you know, knowing she knows this trash. And I said, I'll go to 350.org as soon as I start 7000.org. Keep CO2 under 7,000 parts per million as it was in the Cambrian period, according to all mainstream science. You know, during the dinosaur period, isn't that what you meant to believe in? You know what I mean? Anyway, 385. You know, it's like as it gets to 350, and it's like, well, party time, world's safe now, everything's cool. It's that 350, bankers still run everything more now, thanks to the global carbon taxation methods.
What a narrow view, don't you think? My purpose in life is this and only this, to reduce the carbon dioxide level to 350 parts per million. Not a great deal of general scope to the project.
They won't even ever be able to do that either.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a perfectly compartmentalized, kept in the dark bunch of morons to me. To focus on such a singular and obscure issue, right?
Are they going to stop the oceans evaporating out CO2? What are they going to do, put like giant plastic covers over them or something like
that? Exactly.
Yeah, I know, Vinny, you're right. I mean, but even if they could cure that, they're never going to be able to, the fools.
Well, that's the point. Yeah. And they don't get it. Maybe they think they're part of it. Maybe they think they're going to get some reward. Maybe they think they'll get a promotion out of it. Maybe they think they'll get a new car. Maybe they think they'll get a new home. It doesn't matter, really, because, my goodness, isn't everybody manipulated in some way? You know, awfully, I find. And it's quite tragic.
I think we've just got to leave those people out to dry. when the financial crisis hits and all the proper crap hits the fan, not the global warming. These people are going to be swept up in a, you know, in another sort of tidal wave.
No. As I was walking away, I was just like, well, he's going to a FIFA game.
Oh, yeah. I'll buy 350, Greenpeace, have fun.
Yeah. You know, and apparently after a lot of fascist, you know, takeovers, they kill the people that actually helped in the takeover itself first.
Yeah, the government loves killing those people who served them first, eh?
Exactly.
Mm. It's like psychos, a sacrifice, man. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You nailed it. That's what they're all about. That's what they're all about, sacrifice.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's what they've done time and time again, and I just don't understand this. How can they follow somebody like Al Gore? Okay, look what the guy did back in the 90s. He pimped NAFTA. We can see how well that worked here in the States. You know, we're you know going into this depression. They said the recession ended in 2009. Of course it ended in 2009 because that's when the depression began. And you know, we have no jobs here. You know, most of the jobs went to India or China. I mean, and that's Al Gore's fault and Newt Gingrich's fault.
What, are you racist? Why are you against the jobs going to end in China? Are you racist? This is the sort of stuff they come up with, though, right? Yeah. I started heading up one of those 10-10-10 people about the advert they had, blowing up children's heads, turning them into soupy dead people. And she goes, oh, I haven't seen it. I said, I'll email it to you and you can tell me what you think. Email it to me. No reply. Oh, fancy that.
Well, 1010 removed that video from their website.
Still all over the internet. It's got more than 500,000 views on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't think the climate cultists realize that, you know, the real crazy climate cultists, the one that really, really passionate about the climate, they're a very, very small and shrill, shrieking minority. All right. And they're just so terrified at the prospect that they won't be the majority. And they're not. Most people don't really care about the climate at all. They're more focused on what they're going to feed their effing kids.
The Royal Society blunder in England, this is how bad it gets. Falsely found that CO2 would stay in the atmosphere for thousands of years rather than a dozen or so, as peer-reviewed studies show. They were building their CO2 figures and predictions and mathematical models based upon that premise, that it hangs around for thousands of years rather than in about a 12-year cycle.
Why? And this is the annoying thing about a lot of these journalistic pieces, is that they don't explain the connections between these organizations or these scientists or, you know, this data or the reasons why they're doing it. They just explain that they are doing it.
For us conspiracy theorists, Vinny, there's no time for speculation.
Yeah, well, we can't. The debate is over.
Hey, I agree with that statement, actually. The debate is over, and we've won it.
So why are we having the Mexican summit?
Yeah. The Mexican summit. Oh, mate, that thing's going to be an absolute crash and burn. All right? Bloody Copenhagen buried this climate cultist legislation, man, for a long time. All the third world nations realized that all the carbon tax money that they were going to be paying wasn't actually going to be coming back to them through the IMF and World Bank that's actually the problem. They didn't want to have anything to do with IMF and World Bank money in their countries. And they all got up and walked out.
Yeah.
And the media says that they were upset that the carbon legislation wasn't strong enough, and they walked out.
Yeah, what I don't understand is why are they having it in Mexico of all the places? I mean, haven't they been watching the news? I mean, people are being killed left and right in Mexico. I mean, mayors and, you know, public leaders and investigators are getting decapitated over there. I mean, why would you want to go to that place?
Well, I have a conspiracy theory for that.
Who knows?
Maybe they could benefit a heck of a lot by some very important member of state or something like that getting killed in some particular shootouts, and they could justify an incredible police description. I don't know.
I think you're onto something. See, I think you're onto something, Vinny. I think what they're going to do is, you know, the hardcore, you know, global warmongers are going to tell the rest of them, like, look here, we brought the Zetas and the Gulf Cartel here. And those of you who don't vote for this, they're going to take you out in the middle of the desert and chop you up. That's probably what happened in Mexico.
I think so. They can have heightened security surrounding the event and therefore crush any protesters at the same time under the premise of security.
Well, that's what happened at Copenhagen as well, man. There was a huge police response to that, man. It was incredible the amount of resistance there is to climate change cultism. But the interesting thing was there were two sides of it, and they were both about the same size, apparently. There was our side and the people who wanted more, you know.
More tax.
More everything. Give me more meat. Give me more blood. Give me more of your children. I am a climate cultist, and I will come for you one day.
There's a great video. It's got about 250,000 views. We Are Change confronts Al Gore in New York. They try and round him up in a bookstore somewhere, as usual.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome, man.
And one of the top-rated comments, if not the top-rated comment, is someone saying, or I looked at it last week, what's wrong with these guys? Don't they? Are they saying that man doesn't create pollution? Al Gore just wants to help clean the planet up. So that's what people misunderstand when we come out against climate changes. They misunderstand it to think we're saying, oh, the man doesn't create pollution. We just need to carry on consuming and producing and wrecking everything and everything's okay. That's not what we're saying by disagreeing. You know, I totally agree that man causes huge amounts of pollution, smashes down mature forest that we shouldn't every single day. No, like, of course.
We've got regrowable hemp that can give us all the products we need as far as anything that needs to chop a tree down for, you know, and way better too.
People confuse pollution arguments with global warming arguments. Mm-hmm. And it's so baseline, and that's how they appeal to people's leftist emotions. Like, it's really...
Yeah. It's like I said, you know, they have an emotional response, whereas we kind of look at solutions. What is the problem here? What's wrong with this equation? Okay?
And they don't have an emotional
response. It's like mathematics.
Baby killers. You know? How come they don't care about Depop programs if they're so emotional?
Oh, no, they love that stuff. They love that stuff, absolutely, you know. It's just like, oh, you want to depopulate Africa? Yeah, that's good, you know. There should be less black people around, you think? Maybe I'll go vote National this year. Maybe I'll go vote and support some right-winger.
So, James, I was thinking what we need to ask these climate changers is how big is their NWO footprint?
Yeah.
How much are they contributing to the new world order? You know, not how much are you contributing to climate change, bogus nonsense. How much are you empowering those central banks by going out and protesting taxation for them?
Yep. Well, that's the interesting thing. You get the people to be your army to enslave themselves. And that's the brilliance of the scheme. And that's why it's been kept a very good secret for so long, man. It was not conceived by amateurs. It was conceived of intellects far greater than mine or yours or, you know, probably anybody. But, just like every plan,
Satan himself. Fail.
Oh, yeah. Satan himself. All is cunning, you know, apparently. Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly.
The old wise lizard.
Yeah.
Contracted it out to Al Gore.
Yeah, but y'all's queen is showing solidarity with the people, though, by canceling a Christmas party.
I just can't believe that British experts have come out and proven that the Royal Society lied about it. And it has this picture of it, has this beautiful picture of the Royal Society in all its Masonic glory, yeah, shining on a beautiful Sunday. And there's completely manufactured evidence. It's just so typical of them. But for them to be exposed is a rarity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it just shows the hypocrisy. You have them all pimping global warming, saying we all have to conserve, we all have to watch our carbon footprint. Yeah, you have the royals going around, you know, with a 15 million pound bill, you know, trying to, you know, take money from the poor, you know, to, you know, keep the queen warm. And you have Al Gore flying around in jets and driving around in limos and all the other ones doing all this, you know, very similar things. I mean, why don't people go and look at their leaders and ask, are they actually leading by example? Are they simply just talking the talk? Or are they also walking the walk? Because if they're just talking the talk, it's obvious that it's BS.
Oh, but they gave away half their fortunes for vaccine caches that'll be shipped to Africa to pump everybody full of the AIDS virus, Finny. It's going to good for them, especially
you'll love this
when
comment.
That mercury goes up and recesses on their synapse and turns them into a retarded person.
Look, here's one of those people you're referring to right here. A comment. He says, okay, no CO2. Real liberals say system change, not climate change. Birth control, not climate control. There you go.
That's my new motto. Birth control, not climate control. We'll be right back. We are back, broadcasting live from the future. It is Saturday, 7:31 a.m. local New Zealand time. Our special guest online is James Burns from Freedom Files, and he's just sent us an interesting article here from computerworld.com. DHS scoured social media sites during an Obama inauguration for items of interest. The EFF has released documents that reveal a broad range of targets, including Facebook and Twitter, as well as NPR and Daily Kos. An electronic rights advocacy group is expressing concern over what it contends was an overly broad surveillance of social networking sites conducted by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security in the days leading up to the 2009 inauguration of President Barack H. O'Barry. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, recently obtained documents pertaining to the DHS's monitoring of social networking sites through a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. And, of course, these things don't come out till later on, you know, when there's something about live news. When it's happening right then, right there in front of you, and it's really significant, like during the Christchurch quake or 9/11, when we're getting in the live pictures and stuff like that, it makes you really feel something. But what happens here is that when you're being swindled, you don't know that you've been swindled until way after the fact, way after the point where you could do anything about it, hey, way after the point where you even remember really anything about it. You know? So it becomes irrelevant. And you don't do anything about it. And sometimes the news really just doesn't get out fast enough. And, just look at the damage that this puppet fraudster has done. look at all the legislation that's been passed. All draconian. Horrifically. Selling out the whole country. My goodness. Spent more than all the presidents of the United States combined in his first year alone. He's destroying the United States so utterly and completely and forcing it into international financial receivership. And he should be absolutely ashamed of himself.
I just can't believe it, man. I just can't believe people's lack of discernment to allow a fraudster to be the leader of the free world, supposedly. Someone who uses a fraudulent name, you know, whose birth certificate says one thing that's totally against constitutional law. You know, like how, you know, I know these guys are criminals, but usually they try and keep things level to a point of observation where kind of mainstream idiots can tell if they're a fraudster or not. But this guy is just total outrageously in your face, lying, deceiving, and just the point where he uses a fraudulent name. That's just unbelievable how we can get that birth certificate. His name's, and I've got it saved on my computer here, Barry Satoru, and they won't answer that. They won't answer. They just go, birthers and conspiracy theorists, such as 9/11 truthers, have these wild conspiracy theories. Keep using that term.
Repeat it over and over again. Oh, yeah. And another truther that I met last night, you and I have different theories of truthers. As far as I'm concerned, if you know 9/11's an inside job, you're a truther. Right. But
that's my definition, too.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. He said, man, what kind of radio do you do, bro? You know, he's like a musician. And I was just like, well, you know, I do a bit of talk radio. And he goes, oh, yeah, political stuff. And I go, yeah, a little bit of that. And he says, oh, conspiracy stuff. And they go, yeah. He's like, oh, my God, awesome. You know, it's like truthers are crying out to be around with other truthers, bro. And I think it's something that's it's very important, you know, to be around people of like mind.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think that, you know, one thing we look for as a species is we look for like-minded individuals. And the truth is, I think there's a lot of people out there that are, well, closet truthers. They know that there's something really going on. They don't believe the official story of 9/11. Are the Kennedy assassination, are, you know, they see that there's something a lot deeper and darker going on in the world besides simple politics, but, you know, they're afraid to come out and say anything about it. But, you know, the ones that are, you know, desperate. And that's one thing I've talked to about several people in my own state alone is that, you know, they always like, man, I wish there were more truthers in my area, you know? It's hard once you get woken up to what's really going on in the world to really acclimate with anybody else that's either sheeple or jellyfish. It's just, it's like they're on a different wavelength than us.
Yeah, well, I find it to be the nature of our lives that there will be people who we don't get along with, right? But the interesting thing is, you don't have to make somebody an enemy just because you won't necessarily get along with them. There's no need to burn bridges here. You know, just go, okay, all right. It's all right. Okay if you're yelling at me. I don't want, you know, I don't want to make you upset, Mr. Climate Cultist. Stop jumping up and down. Okay.
Here's the thing, you know. The thing that gets me, I know I corrected myself from a couple of minutes ago too. The definition of a truth in my mind is someone who accepts there is an overarching new world order.
Yeah. Well, see, that's where I stand with it. I see it as more than just 9/11. I think a lot of truthers do focus too much on 9/11. And that's one of those real knee-jerk reactions you're going to get from people. And I, I don't like throwing that in somebody's face who isn't awake yet that I'm trying to wake up. I want to talk to them about the Federal Reserve, about all this other stuff, and kind of breadcrumb them towards everything else. And I think that's the best thing to do, because if you go in somebody's face and say 9/11 was an inside job, and they've come to believe the official story after 9 years, it's going to be very difficult for them to even listen to anything else you have to say.
Yeah, it's an instant switch off, isn't it? Everybody's got like the attention span of like 30 seconds or something, you know? It's very, very difficult.
It gets less and less, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I've got a theory on that. You know how there's like all these Godwin's laws, and an argument naturally gravitates towards Nazi analogies, and
of course,
and there's all these different laws. I think there's got to be some law where over time the media, via advertising and news stories and simulcasts or whatever, that over a period of time, people have a shorter and shorter attention span, and they demand faster and faster and more gory and sex and violence driven material. I swear, like advertising companies, I've read articles saying how they can't even hold people for the usual normal advert, you know, standard advert time of 30 something seconds 10 years ago, that they've, you know, that they've had to reduce their advertising times by about 37% just to hold people, because their market research shows people's attention spans are why is that? It's kind of like you surf YouTube, right, for humor or something, and after a period of time, it becomes less and less funny to you, so you need something more and more extreme to keep you satisfied. It's like the brainwashed public just want faster and faster and faster and faster to keep them satisfied. So 2-hour documentaries is like reading a book for them now. They're not going to do it.
Yeah, and that's sad, because you go to YouTube and you see the most popular videos on YouTube are the stupidest videos ever made. Basically stuff that goes in the same direction as Jackass, and that's what's the popular stuff on YouTube, as opposed to all the educational stuff that a lot of other channels put out that is very informative, whether it's cooking, carpentry, or information.
And also, you'll notice that on those most popular videos, there's plenty of truther comments all over them.
People spamming.
Yeah. I love truther spamming, bro. No, seriously. If you want to help the truth movement and you've just got a few minutes in your extra day, mess with the people on the climate cultist sites or something like that. Spam them with a little bit of anti-New World Order information.
Disclaimer. They'll come after you with flaming torches.
And climate cultist pitchforks, I'm sure. Bring them on. You know? Let's make a big media spectacle out of it. I'll do it all on camera. Broadcast it live from the courtroom and show the world these climate cultist scum are naught but Nazis. The new Nazis are green.
I'm sure they love the show.
They've got to be in touch with reality sooner or later, and somebody has to say it. All right? Because nobody else... Look, I was born without a sense of shame. And it served me very poorly. But, as a consequence, I can say things that other people dare not. I can rush up and interview politicians and ambush them and do things when others dare not. And so can you, Will. Because I was too chicken to interview Helen Clark. I had to make you do it, some me film.
I think her evil kind of got you that day, but yeah. No.
Yeah, man, I was afraid, like seriously. The old witches in the children's movies and stuff like
Roald
that. Like Roald Dahl's The Witches. That's Helen Clark for me, you know.
Her attention to the eyes, you know.
The sheer terror of the shark teeth gripped me.
I could tell that day, Vinny. I was really taken back. You were like, you know, because I'm not as shameless as Vinny.
Yeah.
Vinny's just, yeah, like he says, born without shame. Yeah. it's as if he were naked in the Garden of Eden before Lucifer. Anyway, no. Yeah, I'm not without shame, but I get it up me sometimes and a bit of gusto and go after these politicians. Because there's nothing to be shameful about, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed about around these people. They're just absolutely despicable individuals.
Well, the way it's supposed to work, and I think this is something that a lot of people have forgotten, is these elected officials are supposed to answer to us. You know, they're taxpayers, you know, the ones that basically pay their salaries. Every citizen of every country on this planet that's supposed to be a republic or democracy, whatever way you want to swing it, you know, the citizens have to take a stand and start doing that. You have to confront your elected officials because you're technically their boss.
Well, now that's become who does that? You know, that's become a thing for radicals. Yep. But you're 100% right. That is textbook right. This is how democracies were founded, and, you know, liberty and egality and all that sort of crap the French Masons talk about after they founded that country. And all our so-called republics and democracies and monarchies are meant to have that central tenet. Public service and public duty, and we're the philanthropist helping hand and the benevolent authoritarian, you know, lovers, keepers. But we can't say anything to them. And if you, you know, how many people out of 1.2 million Aucklanders, Vinny, how many people go up and confront politicians?
None.
So it makes us, what percentage are we now?
I would say we're unique. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back.
I got some so-called friends. I'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned, they like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no.
Welcome.
There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on?
To the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. And I was saying a lot on the show that on the 13th of October this year, there would be UFOs flying around major cities, trying to draw attention to climate change. That was because some old Air Force general-ish dude, ex-NORAD officer, said there was going to be. And I got into a fight with a friend of mine over this. I said it was a fact. He said it. Okay? That is a fact. He did say it. Okay? And I didn't know until today that on the 13th of October, UFOs were sighted over Manhattan. And I can't wait to show this person the video on Russia Today.
Oh, look, it's just a coincidence. Everything's just a coincidence, man. Everything. Like, you can't escape it, these people.
Oh, and it's, you know, the cool thing about New York? Lots of people got handy cams and video cameras, so it's covered from a lot of different angles.
It's like the new footage coming out of Building 7 just the other day. You know, there was all this footage, and it's been suppressed because the spooks went around gathering it all, just like they did at the Pentagon scene. They went around seizing all the tapes from any perspective, anyone with a video camera included. You know, there's stuff still coming out over 9/11. And I just think of all the other people in those apartment blocks in Manhattan who would have had video cameras and started rolling, and all the other angles yet to come out. We could have 9/11 inside job sealed in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and the same thing for the Pentagon. I mean, how many security cameras did the FBI go around and seize? I mean, that was I think it was like 80 from other 84, buildings.
84, yeah.
And why did they seize them? If it showed, you know, Flight 77 actually crashing into the Pentagon, you think they'd want the public to see that?
Of the 84, they've released four, and basically two because they're doubles of each other from different. You know, the front cam is two different camera angles of the same scene at the front. But yeah, they're withholding about 79 or 80 tapes. Yeah, criminal in my mind.
Well, get this. People wouldn't understand the level of funding it takes to have that kind of power to control and seize that much stuff. Right? That's more power than any human being should really have, I think. And, well, power breeds corruption, doesn't it? Doesn't the absolute power breed corruption, absolutely? Or something like that? And, these elementary stories of life, these children's stories of morality have now been completely forgotten about by everybody. And now instead, it has been replaced by Lady Gaga and Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan and their various other vapid representations of just how satanic and terrible the world really is. Oh, but on top of that, Justin Bieber. Oh. The amount of prepubescent girls screaming their heads off, crowding around him as though they would die if they were able to touch him. This kind of putting another human being up on a pedestal and this fan culture is really quite disturbing and sick. Because it makes people forget themselves. They forget that they're acting insane. They're acting like cultists.
But isn't it sad to see the same things over and over and over again? I mean, people you know, back in the 60s loved other groups like the Beatles.
Well, there's a big difference, though, between the Beatles and Justin Bieber. The Beatles started out from nothing, you know, and Liverpool, they wrote their own stuff. I mean, there's a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean,
at least the Beatles were talented and they went off to form different groups and whatnot. Even some of them had successful solo careers. I mean, Justin Bieber sucks. One day he's nowhere. Next day he's all over YouTube and Facebook and MySpace out of nowhere. It's obvious that that was part of their programming to get this guy out there.
Yeah.
He's like really effeminate as well. Well, the best thing about Justin Bieber is that somebody threw an enormous water bottle and it hit him right in the head while he was on stage. And I laughed. I laughed for ages. That made me feel good for days.
You sad person? Taking pleasure in other people's pain, though, but it was good for.
It was he deserved justice.
It. No, I wasn't comparing Justin Bieber to the Beatles. I was just comparing the fans, you know, that kind of groupie worship.
No, but at least the Beatles, you know, deserved it, you know. Bieber, I mean, what's this kid, you know? He don't deserve anything.
It's just tween heads, eh? Like they're not really able to think, especially when they're fluoridated and chemtrailed and aspartamed. They're a bit behind the eight ball.
Yeah, but it's pretty sad when people are consider Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, and Bieber to be their celebrities. I mean that's like picking from the bottom of the barrel there.
You are winning. Resistance is your weapons are. It's like scraping the fire at a KFC. And then putting it on your chicken and saying, extra poison, extra grease. And that's about what Justin Bieber really is for your soul. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. What the hell? As Justin turns from freedom to crime. And we'll be right back. Now,
consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
On October the 13th, as predicted, everybody was standing out in the street, pointing into the sky, freaking out, going, oh my God, what the hell is that? Huh? Lights in the sky, there's UFOs, you know, everybody's cracking out these cameras and everything, and my God, how huge a story is that? Did anybody hear about this on mainstream news at all? Really? Come on. Don't you think this would be something of international significance? Everybody in New York standing out in the street, looking up at the sky, watching UFOs? Don't you think that's a little strange?
Vinny, the media's not evil. The media's not hiding anything. They just don't have the time, okay? It's too busy, and they're understaffed and resourced and don't
and
have the time and money.
My thing is, I don't really pay attention to much of the crap that the mainstream media dishes out on a daily basis. But I did see at least one or two local New York stations reporting on the incident. So, I mean, I guess at least the local TV stations report on it. I don't know. Maybe you know, the other ones did too. I don't really care. But, I mean.
Oh, we got in here from foxnewyork.com. But I'm talking about, like, broadcast TV. Was it broadcast?
Yeah, no, the networks, yeah.
Yeah. And was it repeated over and over and over again and hyped up?
Probably not.
Maybe it was just a PSYOP test, you know. Apparently the U.S. government's had UFO technology for quite some time. Apparently they stole it off the Germans. Through Operation Paperclip, of course, quite conveniently. And, a lot of UFO sightings over Nazi Germany during World War II. And after World War II, they then started happening in Nevada, around Area 51.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Well, I mean, one thing you have to remember is UFO doesn't necessarily mean extraterrestrial. I mean, you know, what it, you know, pronounces out is, you know, unidentified flying object. So it could be something that we built that you know, is just so high tech that, you know, we have no idea about. I mean, I personally believe that there is life out there, but I don't know if they've come this way yet.
Don't the U.S. have an intergalactic space force and USS Enterprise and everything? Just joking.
Rimshot.
You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back. To the Vinny Eastwood Show. We have something very special for you right now. A little bit of info on Australian sovereignty, as it turns out. Our special guest today is Wayne Levitt, coming at us from the nice desert state of Australia. Wayne, welcome to the show, mate.
Thank you for having me.
You're very, very welcome. Now, you were telling me that you have some, unconventional news to spread, and you have chosen specifically to lay it on us here at the Vinny Eastwood Show. I would love it if you could just preface for myself, as well as the listeners, just exactly who you are and what it is you're doing, mate.
I used to be principal solicitor of a small legal firm in the western suburbs of Sydney. We engaged in litigation, principally crime. Most other solicitors tend to do conveyancing, which is buying and selling of real estate and so forth. And as a consequence, because we did litigation, we weren't. And as luck would have it, I was just about to close the office early and give myself an early break for the weekend when a call came through. My secretary was speaking to someone else on the other line. I took the call, and it was a strange man telling me a strange story about how the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act was invalid and how the Governor-General of Australia wasn't properly appointed and how Queen Elizabeth II was a war criminal, stuff like that. I should have told him to keep taking the medication and I'd give him a call on Monday, but because I was a bit bored, I said, oh, have you got any material you could forward to me? And he sent me 4.5 pages by way of fax. I read that material and I was shocked. I spent the next 6 weeks, every spare moment that I had, trying to prove the material to be incorrect, but everything I found, in fact, confirmed its truth. I got involved with some people who were heading an organisation trying to rectify Australia's horrendous constitutional problems, and as a consequence of bringing a number of cases in various courts of Australia, including the High Court of Australia, I lost my practising certificate, so I could no longer work as a solicitor, and that happened on the 28th of November 2000.
And what have you been doing since being out of the job as a solicitor? Because there's an awful lot of work out there for people who have a sharp mind such as yours.
It's very difficult when you've got the Law Society and the state, the New South Wales state government and the Australian government on your back. They really hate the information that I've found and the information that I'm continuing to find about Australia's constitutional problems. It's not only Australia, it also affects New Zealand and Canada, and it's having a lot of impact on the world, and therefore it's been very difficult for me.
So specifically, you said that the Australian Constitution is void and the Queen is a war criminal. Could you divulge more into detail about this?
Yeah, sure. Bear in mind, this also applies to New Zealand and Canada. But if your listeners are interested, they'll have to do their own research. But the broad parameters of what I'm saying apply to all of those countries. In 1900, the Parliament at Westminster, the British Parliament, passed into law the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act. That act defines the Commonwealth of Australia as a self-governing colony of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland. Already there's a problem. There hasn't been a United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland since about 1922. It's now the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. So the Queen that's mentioned, or the King that's mentioned in Australia's constitution as sovereign of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland, hasn't existed since 1922. That also applies to Canada and New Zealand. So that's a big problem. Second problem, Australia, New Zealand, Canada are defined as colonies of the United Kingdom. If that's the case, and if these Constitution Acts are still valid, how can these countries be members of the General Assembly of the United Nations and have any of the treaties that they've signed? Are they now up for grabs because they've been signed by countries that are defined in their constitutions, which is the first document at the top of the pyramid, the first legal document that defines everything else? Those constitutions define those countries as colonies, and colonies cannot be represented in the General Assembly of the United Nations. This may sound all very esoteric, but it's not. The Japanese government has this information. Currently, the Australian government has a case in the International Court of Justice against the Japanese for whaling in Australian Antarctic waters. And the Japanese suddenly have this information and intend to use it to prevent that court case going anywhere, because Australia doesn't have standing. You have to be a nation to take a case in the International Court of Justice, and our constitution defines us as a colony. I'll give you another example. Just say you're in New Zealand and you get voted into your parliament. And for the first time in history, you get unanimous votes. Everybody in your electorate votes you in. And you present an act, a bill of law to the New Zealand Parliament. Let's call it the ABC Act. And everybody in Parliament is so taken aback and amazed by what you've done that it gets a unanimous vote all through the Parliament. That bill of law cannot become an act of law until it gets the royal signature, the signature of Queen Elizabeth II, who herself, in fact, is appointed by the British Parliament at Westminster. But her signature is given by her vice-regal representative, which is a Governor-General. Now, that Governor-General may have been chosen by the New Zealand Prime Minister or the New Zealand Parliament, but nonetheless, they're appointed by a queen, a foreign queen halfway around the world, who herself has been appointed by a foreign parliament, the Westminster Parliament. So the way that sovereignty works out it is, you've got the Westminster Parliament, you've got Queen Elizabeth, and you've got her representative in New Zealand, and then the people come way down the bottom, fourth. That's how the system works, and the Japanese know about this. Various other nations know about this. The Chinese are aware of it, the Sri Lankans, the Burmese. If you leave New Zealand, you get a New Zealand passport. If you get into trouble overseas, that passport is next to useless, because if push comes to shove, the country that you're in will say to the New Zealand government, well, how can you issue a passport for the nation of New Zealand when your constitution defines you as a colony of the UK? This happened to a gentleman in Australia, well, a Chinese-born gentleman by the name of Stern Hu. You can look him up on the internet, S-T-E-R-N Hu, H-U. He came to Australia, he took Australian citizenship, he went back working for BHP in China, and now he's in a Chinese jail, and the Australian government have their hands tied behind their back because they know that if they put too much pressure on the Chinese government, that government will announce to the world the constitutional problems of Australia, and Australia's currency and stock market have got about 24 hours life left in them.
Is this by chance why Stephen Harper closed down the Canadian Parliament for 90 to 120 days because the Governor-General?
To be honest, I'm not aware. I'm not that au fait with what's going on in Canada and New Zealand, because I'm putting all my effort into Australia. But I can tell you one other thing. Assuming I'm wrong, assuming that the Australian Constitution is valid, we have proof that back in the 1990s, a Governor-General of Australia was appointed by a forged document. And remember this, if the root is poisoned, the fruit is poisoned. What happened was, we got hold of an appointment document for an Australian Governor-General, and we went over and organised a meeting with the UK's Lord Chancellor, who at the time was a gentleman by the name of Baron Falconer. When that document was slid across the desk to him, before it had even stopped sliding, he said, "That's a forgery." We said, no, this actually came from the government printer's office in Canberra. He said, no, that's a forgery, because the royal seal, the design of the royal seal on that document was changed, and this document is dated after the design of the royal seal was changed. Not only that, the royal seal went from the custody of the Foreign Secretary, who at the time was Jack Straw, to me, and I never put the royal seal on that document.
This is the same Jack Straw that blocked investigations of abuse of children and stuff like that in state institutions.
We call him Strawman Jack. We then went and investigated the public record, and we found that the Queen was nowhere near the place specified on the face of the appointment document on the date the appointment document was allegedly signed. Now, we don't know who forged her signature, but I've got a pretty good idea, and I don't think that this person did it out of the goodness of their heart. I reckon they got some Australian taxpayers' money put into a bank account somewhere. And if that happened in Australia, and it did and we can prove it, then it's fair to say that it's probably happened for New Zealand and Canada as well.
Well, it turns that our governor, well, not our governor-generals, our chief justices and justice ministers meet behind closed doors every year to coordinate legislation. And it's all behind closed doors, so nobody knows how the legislation is going through. And it's very apparent to me that the levels of secrecy concerning government and the actual reality behind it are tops. You know, it's almost as if you can't outdo this level of secrecy because the public is completely in the dark, about as in the dark as you can get, really. And, you know, shedding light on this subject becomes difficult because of the quantity of research it takes to, in fact, back it up. Now, you're not talking about this as if you're just, you know, you made it up or anything. You've actually got documentation, and even you've sent me some with the Buckingham Palace logo on it. And can you explain to me just how the real ruling system actually works here? I mean, currently the perception is the people elect their representatives, and their representatives then rule the country. That's not the case, is it?
No, I'm not going to say it's a conspiracy. I'll leave that to others. But you'll find if you do internet searches, for example, at the moment, there are a lot of pubs closing down in the United Kingdom. There are a lot of pubs closing down in Australia and all over the world, and they're closing down for the same reasons, taxation and anti-smoking legislation. That's one example. If you look up power prices all around the world, power prices are rising. All these things generally tend to be coordinated, and what we have tried to do is use this information to try and make it as difficult as we can for the Australian government to force them to actually rectify the situation and give the Australian people back the ability to have a say in how they're governed, because at the moment it's a joke. It's just a joke. I'll give you another example about how this is being used against probably New Zealand, but definitely Australia. Australia has been given vast territories in the Antarctic, and those territories are being given by the UN. The Americans currently have bases on Australia's Antarctic territories. Hundreds of people down there looking for resources in, allegedly, Australia's Antarctic territory. And the reason that they're down there, and the reason the Japanese are down there hunting for whales in our territory, is because they understand that the United Nations can't give a colony, whether it's a self-governing colony or not, territory. You have to be a nation. And these people know that Australia's not a nation. I assume the similar attitude exists towards New Zealand, and the New Zealand government and the Australian government won't do anything about it because their lives are pretty good at the moment, and they've got great superannuation and pension payouts, so they'll just keep the people in the dark and do the best they can.
Keeping the people in the dark is not that easy either. It requires quite the massive budget, methinks. Where,
sure.
And where exactly does all this money come from?
Very interesting question. I know in the case of the bribery that's obviously gone on here, I can't prove it, but the bribery that's gone on to places, well, for example, the Jack Straw and so forth, would have come from the Australian taxpayer, so that they can keep travelling around the world on passports that are not worth the paper they're written on. And I assume the same happens in New Zealand and Canada. It's a very similar system. But the reason this initially happened was because 100 years ago, Britain had the strongest navy in the world, bar none. They had all these colonies, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, and these countries really didn't have much in the way of military wherewithal. So they decided, look, it's all right, we've got basically autonomy, we're self-governing, and we can always rely on Mother England to protect us. What happened was, towards the end of the First World War, the Great War, the war to end all wars, Woodrow Wilson, who in my opinion has to be America's worst president, decided that in order to stop the internecine warfare and the bloodletting, he would organise an international body which came to be known as the League of Nations. Now, the British realised that if they kept all their colonies, those colonies wouldn't get a vote because you have to be a nation to join the League of Nations. So what they did surreptitiously towards the end of the First World War was they granted New Zealand, Australia, Canada, South Africa their independence and sovereignty. And they said, oh, we're doing this because of the great sacrifices you've made for us during the Great War. South Africa took that opportunity and became an independent and sovereign nation. In Australia, New Zealand and Canada, the politicians fudged it because they thought, well, if we do this, we won't be able to rely on Mother England to protect us. And that's why this freedom, which was granted by the British in order to ensure that their former colonies could join the League of Nations, and hoping, quite correctly, that those colonies would still vote along the lines that Mother England wanted and thereby stop America from dominating this new international body, that's why it was done. But the politicians fudged it and said, no, let's keep going with our colonial constitutions, we'll keep getting our power and our privileges, and the people won't know any better. And frankly, that's what's happened. So, Australia is supposed to be an independent nation, and yet we are the only OECD country in the world which doesn't have a constitutionally enforceable Human Rights Act. Because at the time our constitution was formed, and you'll find this is the same for New Zealand, there was no point in putting human rights into the constitution. Because at the time, all of those people in New Zealand, Australia, Canada were all colonies, and they could all go back and rely on the human rights that had been enshrined in British law. So there was no point in repeating them in those constitution acts. But when those countries became independent and free, the government fudged it and never brought in referendums for new constitutions, and that's why Australia to this day still doesn't have a constitutionally enforceable Bill of Rights, and we're supposed to be an independent, sovereign, free nation.
Yeah. I mean, that's the irony, isn't it? Because as soon as you get freedom, it requires the sign off of somebody who basically has a vested interest in making sure that you don't have it. Right, so it's pretty likely, you know, you give that piece of paper to them, and they just say, "Hey, you want freedom? Nah." And that's why I think everybody throughout history who's ever wanted independence or something has had to go to war for it.
Well, we're trying. It's very hard to get John and Elsie Lunchbucket from in front of the television, so we're trying to do this by causing as much economic problem as we can, which we're hoping will force the Australian government and thereafter the New Zealand and Canadian governments to rectify the horrendous situation that we currently have. As more and more people, if we can get enough publicity for what is going on in Australia, if we can get this story out there, eventually someone in America, someone who's a manager of a retirement fund, is going to find out that all the companies and all the corporations that they've got their members' retirement funds invested in don't actually exist at law.
You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will. And we've had some compliments about the music for this show. Listen up. To the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Check out our nice little show blog there, as well as our archive section, which I try to put in every day if I can, with a brief little summary with links that you can send to your mates so that they too can enjoy the lighter side of genocide with Will.
If we can get this story out there, eventually someone in America, someone who's a manager of a retirement fund, is going to find out that all the companies and all the corporations that they've got their members' retirement funds invested in don't actually exist at law. And can't these corporations, if they have a dispute with, say, an American corporation or a Singapore corporation, if it goes to an international court, this material will be raised and this will cause horrendous problems. And we're hoping that the managed retirement fund people in America, when they realise this, will divest from places like Australia and New Zealand, where they do have a lot of investments. And when that happens, the stock market will be affected, the currency will be affected, and the government of those countries is going to have to say, look, we have to sort this thing out. We can't let our economies go down the drain. That's what we're hoping.
Well, it sounds like Agenda 21 to me, trying to force the developed world into a post-industrial feudal state, more or less, so that they can be easily swallowed up and controlled by international bankers, more or less, with the world government, otherwise known as the New World Order. And what I find is that legislation is one of the main elements that you can look at to see how society is starting to be channeled along a certain path to tyranny, more or less. And what you're telling me seems no different.
The United Nations, we originally thought, when I got involved in this 13 years ago, we originally took the statements of the United Nations at face value. And some of their treaties, International Treaty on Human Rights and so forth, when you read them on the page, are very, very good. Problem is, that's their public face. But their private and their true face is they do not want to get involved in any of this because they don't want to give Australia, New Zealand and Canada their sovereignty. The last thing they want is for nations to have their sovereignty, and that's why they're not interested. We served for a 400-page document. You can look it up on the internet. It's called Australia, the Concealed Colony. You type that into Google, you'll find it. We served that personally on every single member state of the General Assembly of the UN back, I think it was in 1999, and nothing. Nothing came of it. Well, there have been meetings held with Kofi Annan's staff. Kofi Annan was given a two-volume set of Australia the Concealed Colony, which was covered in kangaroo skin. So it wasn't a cheap paperback, it was a very nice edition, and we heard nothing because they are not interested in freedom and sovereignty. They've got their own agenda, which isn't a very good one in my opinion.
I mean, and let's not forget, of course, that the Security Council at the UN are the ones who actually run the show, because they all have veto powers, and the General Assembly is no more than a tokenistic representation of the slave states.
I agree. What we're doing is we're trying to get nations, various nations around the world, I won't mention who they are, but whenever there's a media story about some horrible government somewhere denying the people human rights and so forth, a number of people in Australia contact that government and forward them the requisite information so that it prevents nations like America and Britain and its Britain's colonies from doing anything to alleviate the situation. It's the only tactic we've got. We intend to make the whole system break down until such time as it becomes unworkable. And these governments have to tell the truth to the people.
Well, they should have been doing so the whole time, but they simply don't tell the truth to the people, really, do they, Wayne? I mean, and they rule by manipulation and deception, and Helen Clark, who's supposedly one of the most popular prime ministers in our history, I mean, obviously passing great laws like banning vitamins, sending troops to Afghanistan and doing all things which are remarkably unpopular and globalist in nature, guess where she gets promoted to? The third highest spot at the UN, because she's shown that she's just that nice of a servant to her globalist masters.
I agree.
And this is a similar thing going on all over the place, isn't it, Wayne?
Yes, the main problem that I find is when you try and explain the horrendous situation, for example, that Australia is in, when you try and explain that to your average Australian, you'll notice their eyes glass over really quickly, because Dancing with My Sister or Queer Eye for the Straight Chef is on television and they've got to get home to watch that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's almost as if the elements of human life that used to be important, for example, family, social interaction, intellectual development, being able to go out in nature and stuff like that and fit in and, you know, play with the animals, swim in a stream or any of that kind of stuff, is no longer the motivation or even enters into the general populist mind. And we have such a record amount of morons, I would probably say. People who have a attention span of approximately 30 seconds. People who have the capacity of accepting concepts that maybe a 9 or a 10-year-old would be able to deal with, you know. And at the same time, we, in this movement, regardless of what it is, it's the freedom movement, right? That is the frustration for us, because we know what's going on, and being able to communicate it to somebody in 30 seconds is, I would probably venture a guess, impossible.
I agree. It's very sad. One of the things I've noted is if you ask people if you've read any good books lately, the vast majority will tell you that they don't read books. They rely on the internet. And one of the symptoms that the internet causes is a short attention span.
Hey, and that is a great way to have an incredibly shallow society, isn't it? One who votes for a prime minister based upon his looks. I talked to a friend the other day, a good friend of my brother, and he said that the reason why he voted for the new super city mayor of Auckland, Len Brown, I asked him, do you know any of his policies? And he says, no. And then he continued to tell me why he voted for him.
Talking about voting, I'll just give you this story, and this is something your listeners can check up on the internet. Go and do a Google search for the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act. And when they find it, have a look at Section 42. Section 42 of that Act states that when you become a member of the House of Representatives or Senate, you must take the oath as given in the schedule to the Constitution Act. You then turn to go to the back of the Act and you'll see the schedule. If you then go to YouTube and type in Julia Gillard swearing in, you'll see it's about a 3-minute film clip of Julia Gillard being sworn in as Prime Minister by our Governor-General. And she is not taking the oath as prescribed in the schedule to the Australian Constitution. We have no say in this. The preamble to the Australian Constitution Act and the schedule to the Act cannot be changed by referendum by Australians. The only thing we can change is a thing called Clause 9, which is known as the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act. If Julia Gillard doesn't swear the oath as prescribed in Section 42 and given in the schedule to the Australian Constitution Act, she is not Prime Minister. And this is on YouTube. You can see it on YouTube. And I can tell you what, there's a lot of people in Japan and China who've watched that YouTube clip and had a look at Section 42 of the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act. They know about it, and when push comes to shove, the Australian government is going to be pushed and shoved so hard they won't know whether they're Arthur or Martha. Australia's anti-whaling case in the International Court of Justice is going nowhere. So for all those people who enjoy seeing whales getting killed and the water going pink, you're going to have a lot more of that this year because it's coming up.
Sushi on! Hey, well, I was just thinking, you made me think there for a second. A while back, we had one of our politicians in New Zealand, I can't remember what he did wrong, but anyway, he got out of Parliament, and the person who got sworn in to replace him, and this was broadcast live on the radio, the oath that you take in New Zealand as a parliamentarian is not to the people of New Zealand, not to uphold the law, nothing like that. It is specifically to the Queen and all her successors, you know?
And the Queen, and this is important, the Queen is not a hereditary Queen. The Queen is appointed by Act of Parliament. People think that Prince Charles is the next in line to become King. No. The Westminster Parliament says, for example, that if you are a Catholic, You cannot become sovereign of the United Kingdom. The Westminster Parliament therefore prescribes who can and who cannot become sovereign of the UK. If they wish, they can pass a law to make my dog king of the UK. So it's not as if the Queen is above Parliament. Parliament is supreme. The Westminster Parliament, they appoint the Queen. The Queen then appoints governors and governors general of Australia, New Zealand, Canada. And then the people come last. And the oath that you're talking about is the identical oath contained in the schedule to the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act. So the people can go take a running leap. They're not important. It's some foreign, sour, emotionally crippled old woman half a world away who herself has been appointed by a foreign parliament. And we're supposed to be independent sovereign nations. The Japanese know about it. The Chinese know about it. All these nations in the world know about it. They haven't broadcast it because they're keeping it up their sleeve and they're using it as and when required. So if you're a New Zealand citizen or a Canadian citizen and you go overseas to an unfriendly country and you get into a spot of bother, don't expect your government to step in and help you.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
They can't.
It's like Ron Paul asking Ben Bernanke of the Federal Reserve, you know, what did you do with the taxpayer money? And the answer is, we don't have to tell you.
That's right.
Now, wrapping up here, do you have a website that people can go to their way?
We did. It was taken down.
Of course.
the current website, we've had a lot of trouble. The current website we have, which is still in the process of being rebuilt, is worldwideweb.basic-fraud.com. Our original website was basicfraud.com. This is basic-fraud.com. I'd also say go to Google and look up Australia, the Concealed Colony. You can also go to Google and look up David Claude Fitzgibbon. Fitzgibbon is spelt with a Z. He was the Australian barrister who took his case to the British courts and ultimately to the European Court of Human Rights. The European Court of Human Rights threw his case out, not because any of his evidence or documentation was wrong, but because they maintained that no human rights offence had taken place. I've got suspicions as to how that happened, and I wouldn't be surprised if money changed hands. I'll give you another example about the British justice, how good it is. When David Claude Fitzgibbon, who's a barrister himself, was before the High Court in Britain, his case was being heard by Justice Lightman. Lightman heard the case and reserved his decision. Between the time when he finished hearing the case and giving his decision, the Australian Prime Minister at the time, John Winston Howard, flew to London. Now, I remember seeing this, and I couldn't get it through my head that John Winston Howard, a former solicitor, would be so gross as to go to London to influence a British judge in his decision. But that is exactly what happened. And we know that for a fact, because after Lightman gave his decision against Fitzgibbon, the sheriff of the court came down and said to Mr. Fitzgibbon, "Oh, Justice Lightman would like to see you in chambers." Fitzgibbon was shocked. He went to the judge's chambers and Lightman said to him, "Oh, look, we're having a little bit of a party tonight in my former Inns of Court. We don't get too many people from Australia in our courts. I'm wondering whether you'd like to come along." Fitzgibbon said, "Oh, okay, I will." So that night, he's with Justice Lightman and senior counsel in the Inns of Court in London. Lightman gets a few drinks into him and says to Fitzgibbon, "Oh, the problem was that John Howard, your Prime Minister, came over and pressured me to decide the case against you, but if you go to Europe, I'm sure you'll do a lot better." And all the senior counsel in the Inns of Court who knew about this all mentioned how disgusted they were that the Prime Minister of Australia come over and interfered with a British judge. Fitzgibbon is a barrister in Australia. He was there and he can tell you this. This is a sort of corruption, the endemic corruption.
It's just the kind of corruption we need. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. And we'll be right back. I want to jam it.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
getting serious out there. 40 million Americans on food stamps, I heard, that they're going to revoke them. 40 million people without food. What a scary prospect. Which is why you should probably go to eFoods Direct. I mean, I don't know this. This is just something I heard. Probably not true. There's a heck of a lot of disinfo out there. But the point is, there's so much corruption everywhere you look, which means you need to confront it everywhere you go. It affects you always. And remember that. Because not only will it always affect you, but it'll affect everybody. You know, we're kind of all in this together. What are you, silly? What's the problem here? When I say 9/11's an inside job, that doesn't mean you should hate me. When I say the medical...
you're an inside job. people get carried away, don't they, Vinny? I mean, it's not a personal attack on them, is it?
No. And like I said, man, it's not a logical argument. It's an emotional response.
But we can get personal too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you bet, John Banks. You want to come after us? We will come after you tenfold.
Yeah. You shall know the wrath. It's just such a little... Oh, my God. The amount of FCC violations that I would incur if I were to describe and what I would deem the most appropriate use of the language of John Banks.
Would incur, or I'd change that to have, perhaps?
Have? Already? Maybe.
No, I'm only kidding. I'm kidding, but no.
You may have just looked at me on air, bro. What's going on here?
I just can't believe the absolute stupidity of people, Vinny. It's not like we're all having arguments. If it was just an argument between truthers and zeitgeisters and things like that, that'd be sweet, because I actually respect zeitgeist guys for the fact that they can actually think outside the box, unlike most people, and they're actually intelligent. You know, but and I even have respect for some climate cultists in a way, because at least... it wasn't meant to be so funny, but hey.
That was unintentional. I have some respect for the climate cultists, okay?
In a little way, you know. Not that I don't want to see them melted down into freon gas, but
No. We need to ferment the climate cultists into biofuel in order to save us from global warming.
Okay,
world.
That's right.
This is our campaign platform for the election next year. Okay, no more lion, Will Ryan. There we are.
Yep. Run my car on them and use the leftover to fry some chips.
Yeah,
but seriously speaking, I mean, we can't even get to those debates with some people. Some people are just like, they're closed off from the word go. Well, they just misunderstand everything, absolutely everything. You can't say one group's all like this because not all of them are like that. Like, you know, you can't use generalizations. So I say, in general, no, psychologists are like this. You can't say they're all like that. In general, Freemasons are all are occultists. You can't say that. I know one, he gave some money to my grandfather's husband or something. It was just something ridiculous. And instead they hang on to their own emotive, personal interpretations rather than going, okay, that sounds outrageous. I'm going to go and look stuff up to see if he's got any evidence to support that. And we make when I learned fifth form English, I learned that you make a statement and then you make it, and then you have examples to back it up. And that's generally what we do on the show, right?
For example, I talk about, you know, how Barack H. O'Barry and every president's actually linked and are all related, you know, through this, like, one king, French king of England or something like that. Some 12-year-old girl did a genealogy project in her high school, and she did something that most people don't when you look at genealogy. She included the female aspects in marriages and stuff like that into the equation as well, because previously genealogy is just basically, you know, just looking on the male side of the thing. And all the presidents are related. Isn't that interesting? Black nobility. And I told a person this. And I said, mate, I saw it on CBS News. Okay, and he goes, oh, yeah, the same CBS News that said, hey, we've got proof that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. You know?
Yeah, because even as much as we hate Fox News, we don't say they lie about 100% of things. People say you can't use them as sources because they lie about one thing.
Yep, that's why you should practice just a little bit of discernment. Ha 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 ha! A unique concept, if ever you heard of it. Thank you very much, crew of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You have done a fabulous job, all of you. You know who you are. This show could not exist without the hard working folks at American Freedom Radio. We'll be back next week with the brighter, the lighter side of genocide.
Love ya.